Today on Movie Royalers, we talk about Ted 2 and Terminator Genesis. It's time for Movie Rollers. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, it's Rashmi.
And yes, me as well.
Movie Rollers is your weekly dose of film reviews, movie news, and general banter in theatres, on DVD, online streaming, or in the back of an airplane. If you love the movies, the show is for you. So are you guys as hot as I am on this very muggy,
I'm melting,
end of June evening here in San Diego?
It's so not normal for us.
We are so not used to weather.
Even
yes, generally.
That's right.
It's horrible. We're yeah. so spoiled. Spoiled Jordan.
But I could predict the rain.
This is true. Rashmi broke her elbow a few years ago, for those that don't know. But yeah. ever since then, she'll start complaining that her elbow feels a little bit achy.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, within 48 hours, we have rain. It's like, it's unbelievable.
In fact, yesterday, honestly,
I swear to God,
I said to Joe,
I know, I've heard this, but only
yesterday.
Like,
no,
I'm so skeptical about this type of thing. And
It worked completely this time. I said to Joe, I think it's going to rain. He said, oh, I better cover up the grill. And we did.
And how many times have you said that and it hasn't rained?
None, as far as I can tell, scientifically. No, but it's really funny because you'll
so
just
no
start complaining. There may be one or two, but
maybe one or two. Or it gets like damp, you know. It's always over damp or foggy.
This isn't a scientific experiment,
yeah.
Here,
yeah.
We're not going to replace the weather satellite with
Rashmi's elbow.
All right, well, we have two movies to talk about today. We have Ted 2 and Terminator Genesis. So where would you like to go
Ted
first?
Ted 2.
Oh, right, if you have to.
Okay. So I didn't get to see this one. Hurrah. I didn't really love the first one. I thought it was a one gimmick movie, and now they've come up with another sequel or a sequel. So newlywed couple Ted and Tammy Lynn want to have a baby, but in order to qualify to be a parent, Ted will have to prove he's a person in a court of law. This sounds remarkably like my favorite animation, Mr. Peabody and Sherman.
Yes,
okay.
Yes, absolutely.
So this is directed and written by Seth MacFarlane, written also by Seth MacFarlane, Alex Skulkin, and Wellesley Wild. And it stars Mark Wahlberg, Seth MacFarlane from the first movie. And in this one, we see the addition of Amanda Seyfried, Jessica Barth, Morgan Freeman, Dennis Haysbert, and a few others. So should I rush out and see this one? Will I like this more than Ted 1?
Well, what did you think of Ted?
Look, Ted was cute, but I kind of got bored of the whole, again, bromance, pseudo bromance movie, and I think it was kind of one gimmick, you know, one joke after another, and the gimmick is that he's a teddy bear, so it got old for me quickly. But I can see wry smiles on your faces, so Yazdi, why don't you go first on this one?
So this movie has led me to do a lot of introspection, which is a weird thing to say about Ted 2, but the introspection really, and we've talked about this before, is that this movie is doing horribly, by the way.
It's
43% on the tomato meter. I don't know. Do we change as people, or are we just inherently wired to respond better to some filmmakers than others? I can't explain it. I don't particularly like Seth MacFarlane. I mean, I like, you know, his television shows and so forth. But, you know, A Million Ways to Die in the West last year.
I love that movie.
Right, I think you and I were two of the seven people in the world who loved that movie. And, you know, you should read the Manuela Dargis wrote this withering, withering, withering review of it in the New York Times about it. And she really takes Seth MacFarlane to task for being racist in this movie.
Oh.
And I'm thinking,
only in this one.
Only in this one. But I'm thinking nobody has any problems with Get Hard, which I found just abysmally, offensively racist.
I like
and
that.
And yet everybody's hung up about Ted 2, but all of this is a big preamble to say I love this movie, and there's something about Seth MacFarlane that just resonates for me. I did not for a minute feel that he's being racist. He's just too stupid to be racist. He's so committedly vulgar, and he's so committedly just throwing so many jokes at you, hoping, you know, 2 out of 10 stick.
Yeah, that he doesn't, that's the problem.
He doesn't have any willful malintent at all. There's nothing racist about the movie. So particularly because it's been so maligned in the press, I feel the need to defend it.
Is it Barrist?
No, it's not Barrist.
You had to think about that one for a second.
Yeah, I know. You're like, oh, is it? Okay, Joe, what did you think?
I mean, I wasn't the biggest fan of Ted, the original Ted. I mean,
caught it late too, right? We watched it on Netflix or
We did. I think I actually saw it on the back of an airplane, to quote our intro tagline. But for me, Ted had some real heart to it, and I think this movie carries that along. I mean, I think you have to basically buy into the premise of Ted. If you don't, this movie won't work for you. You also have to align with Seth MacFarlane's particular brand of humor. Yes. And I think, you know, this movie has it all in there. There is all manner of bodily fluids cast in various directions I'll leave it there. The humor is coarse. It's some of it isn't clever. Some of it is quite frankly intended to, not necessarily intended to offend, but it goes into territory that I can understand offensive. I don't get the racist criticism at all, so we may have to talk about that offline if that includes spoilers. But I don't understand why this movie would be called racist. But nonetheless.
Is it gimmicky? Is it just all about
it's
the
gimmick? It's just more of for me this was just more of the same. I think as with most sequels, they just amp it up a little bit. But we get more of the same, and you know, the jokes work. I think at the end of the day, despite the fact that I didn't love the movie, there were some genuinely funny moments in this movie. And I'm not talking sheep's penis, million ways to die in the West. Funny, which was ridiculous.
That was really funny.
But though I'm talking, you know, the Sarah Silverman hooker character, funny.
Right.
She had some really great moments in A Million Ways to Die in the West, and I think a lot of that same kind of clever humor is carried through here. So, you know, this movie, you just have to be on its wavelength. And if you like Ted, go see this. If you didn't like Ted, it's not for you. If you know Seth MacFarlane's brand of humor, then you know what you're going to get. And I honestly have to put my hand up and say this made me laugh more than it should have done, but I did enjoy it.
Yeah, I was kind of meh about the original Ted.
Yeah.
I don't understand why it was such a big hit.
Yeah, see, that's where I was.
But I kind of liked... I mean, this kind of stuff always resonates for me, you know, Peabody and Sherman. About,
yeah,
you know,
what is human?
Almost, yeah, the dog wants to be treated as human and be his child. And in a way, this kind of movie takes on this whole issue about, you know, it's his teddy bear, and therefore, is it his property or is it actually a person with rights to reproduce and all of that? And it kind of, I think, squeezes in his own political statement about gay rights and about, you know, treating people equally and about race and so forth. So I think why I like his brand of humor is, you know, of course he can do, you know, vulgar very well, but he can also do sweetness very well. I mean, I loved, there was a sweetness to A Million Ways to Die in the West. I loved the romance between him and Charlize Theron in that movie. It was so genuine and real. And you know, every actor in this movie, starting with Mark Wahlberg, they're such good sports, right? I mean, first of all, imagine, I think Ted is CGI. Okay, there is no, they're all pretending to react to this character which doesn't exist when they're filming it, and they're all so committed to it. Particularly Amanda Seyfried, who's such a good sport. There was a great line about her eyes in 10 Million Ways to Die in the West.
That's
and
right.
There's another great joke. I mean, as even as that, and that joke repeats twice, even as a second time with even greater visual impact. But she's such a good sport because they're making jokes about her eyes. There's a great joke about Justin Bieber. And I think there's a joke about Kim Kardashian, which really went over badly. I think that's why people are calling him racist. But it's a great joke. Come on, people. Have a sense of humor. Of course, you can consider it racist if you want to. But, you know, he's too goofy. I mean,
in the same way that Joan Rivers was racist. I mean, correct. Right? You know, there's a way of poking fun at celebrity and the absurdity of these people. So, yeah.
And I also like that he's such an odd duck, Seth MacFarlane. I mean,
yeah, he really is.
He wants to do this, you know, really committedly vulgar stuff, but he's also somehow in love with old movie memorabilia. Like, there's a whole title sequence in the movie.
The opening sequence.
The opening
it's
sequence.
Broadway.
Is flat out, like, like Broadway musical, like with actors and beautiful choreography, and the movie ends with that. And so it's so, his sensibility is so unique. There, I don't know if anybody else
he comes from the theater. He must do. I mean, you know, I remember when he hosted the Oscars a year or two ago. It was that big, bold.
I think he's remarkably smart. I know, yes, you said he's kind of too stupid to be racist.
No, I mean that in a funny way.
But I actually think he's an incredibly insightful, clever, smart comedian. I mean, it's amazing to me that this concept is, you know, so marketable. And wouldn't we all like a talking teddy bear? But I guess, was there a need for the sequel? Or, you know, does the story merit it? Or is this just making money off the fact that...
This sequel, for me, I think was clearly made because there was an appetite for it. There was a market for it. So in the sense that it's, you know, it wasn't necessarily the next step in the story that needed to be told, more as... let's do this again because it was kind of fun last time and we can make a ton of money doing it. I think that was more of the motivation. I want to be very cynical about that. But nonetheless, it didn't detract from the amount of passion that I think was put into making it, because I think they did go out there to create a genuinely entertaining film. And I don't think it was a lazy movie. I don't think it was inept in any way. It was... you know, they set out to make as good a sequel as they possibly could, and I think they delivered. I mean, again, there's lots of ways to poke holes at this movie. The smart talking teddy bear is just it's a one joke thing, and that I feel like it relied a lot less on that particular joke this time round than it did in the original Ted, which is why I found this just a little more fresh and entertaining than the original Ted. So I'm gonna wrap up. I mean, I think it was, you know, and it's not a waste of your time. It's a good, again, if you buy into that brand of humor, and I can't overemphasize that enough. If you like Ted, if you like A Million Ways to Die in the West, if you like Family Guy, then this is your kind of thing. 7 out of 10.
Yes, Steve.
Yeah, a very. Skimpy 7 out of 10 for me as well. I'm almost tempted to give it 8 out of 10 because I think people are unnecessarily taking him to task. I mean, get alive, people. I mean, I like you, I agree. How can you not like a movie where there's a scene where they run into this giant field, which they discover is like marijuana. And what music plays in the background is the E.T. music, you know. It's the E.T. music. It's like so happy, like E.T. go home. I mean, this is not sloppy, right? They could have done this. They could have just farmed this out to somebody to write a subpar sequel. And they are committed, every one of them. I didn't care for the whole thing set in the Comic-Con thing. And why is Comic-Con in New York? But anyway, all... you know,
because there is a subdivision of Comic-Con that goes to New York.
Except it was San Diego Convention Center that was depicted, so it was so bizarre.
Anyway, but I just want the world to kind of recognize the value of Seth MacFarlane, and I think there's nobody else quite like it, and I hate that his movies are being put into this box of lowbrow humor. I think there's so much more to it. Yes, it is, of course, lowbrow humor, but...
it's not Adam Sandler.
It's not Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so I almost want to give it an 8 out of 10, but...
do it.
Yeah,
do
I'll it. Give it an 8.
For the record, it's let the record state, yes, he gave Ted 2 an 8 out of 10.
8 out of 10. You got your back, Seth. I got your back.
Okay, so we move on to Terminator Genisys, which couldn't be more different.
So I don't know that this movie really needs any kind of an introduction. This is the umpteenth movie in the Terminator franchise, which I think should have ended at the with the classic James Cameron Terminator 2. Terminator 3, some of the other sequels that we've seen, the one with Christian Bale, have all kind of, built on a franchise and essentially used time travel as a way of extending a story that really came to its, you know, adequate conclusion at the end of Terminator 2. But nonetheless, this movie has been made. It stars Arnold Schwarzenegger again in the role of the Terminator. And it's kind of a reboot / pseudo sequel to a movie. It changes some of the original actors. It goes back and revisits, as you can do with time travel, some of the original events from the 1980s. 2, I think, Terminator movie. Emilia Clarke is from Game of Thrones, Rashmi, mm-hmm. Which you pointed out to me, stars as Sarah Connor. We have Jason Clarke John Connor, and Jai Courtney as Kyle Reese, who I think we know from the Maze Runner, it's the other one, the other teen Divergent series.
I was wondering where I'd recognized him from.
So I won't get into the plot because this is time travel and plotty, but Rashmi, what did you think of Terminator Genesis?
So I'm going to start by saying I really enjoyed this movie. I mean, nothing will ever be as good as Judgment Day, but number 3 was really bad and I didn't even want to watch number 4, and I was lackluster about watching Genesis. So I was pleasantly surprised by what we got. I mean, this manages to make sense in terms of a story, but it's time travel spaghetti.
Yes, the...
I honestly don't know what to say about this one.
You look pained.
I'm in pain because I'm very conflicted. I'm conflicted because in the moment I really enjoyed the movie.
Yeah.
And so I'll give it props for that. It's quite enjoyable. It does not have the visceral intensity that Terminator 2 did or the original Terminator did. It felt a little bit like a video game, but maybe I'm being harsh. But you know why? I mean, do we have to like poop on the sacredness of every good movie made in the 80s?
This is true.
I mean, what made... What made the Terminator movies so great was because they were about time travel, and now they're taking the worst of time travel and almost rewriting that whole thing, right? The X-Men movies are doing that now. They're going back and they're just rewriting what happened in the previous movies. So,
yeah, but they're good.
But they're good. And so part of me resents people just going and, you know, redlining through what is already a pretty good piece of work. But it is, there's no doubt about it. It's very, very entertaining.
Joe, I'm dying to hear what you thought. Because we are Terminator fans, right?
Well, no, T1 and T2.
Yeah,
T2 in particular is up there and among my favorite movies ever. I think that movie was just so beautifully crafted. Cameron, as a director, has, you know, since fallen a little bit in my esteem with things like Avatar. But nonetheless, he really did a perfect job on Terminator 2. And that was really my biggest problem with this movie. It brings nothing new. Like, all of the ideas that were so classically well done with stabbing weapons and liquid robots and, liquid metal and even the CG effect... All of those same ideas are absolutely at play here. There's nothing original. It refused in many ways to bring anything additional to the franchise other than, you know, I won't go into spoilers, but what kind of happens to one of the pivotal characters towards mm-hmm. the end of the movie, mm-hmm. you know, that's kind of the only new idea introduced here. But it was just so damn clunky. This back and forth gobbledygook with time travel here, changing timelines. I literally lost the plot about a third of the way into it. I didn't really care for what was going on. And other than the fact that it's very entertaining to spend time in this universe with Arnie and some of his one-liners, I didn't really rate this movie that highly at all. It was a real disappointment given the richness of the source material. And I think, again, it's a clumsy way to extend the franchise by use of the fact that there's a time machine that exists in this universe. You can do anything you like. You can reboot, you can change, you can create alternate timelines, and you just get yourself into this horrible, tangled mess of nonsense, which is where this movie ended up. So in that respect, you know, as entertaining moment for moment as it was, it's a real disappointment for somebody like me who holds the franchise in such high esteem.
So I think this is the problem they have, right? For most of us who are in our age group who watched Terminator 2 the first time around, it blew us away, right? Mm-hmm. It like melted our minds. It was so good. It was stuff we'd never seen before. And so I guess the dilemma is, do you do, Joe, what you said and introduce completely new concepts, in which case you've walked away from the original material anyway, or do you kind of just add a little bit, which I thought they did fairly well. I did like the new Terminator. It paid homage to the old one, but it updated it enough.
It didn't bring anything new.
No, it didn't bring
We've seen every single exciting moment in this movie in the others. And And more than anything, I think they did a real injustice to the Sarah Connor character because she was such
a strong... In this movie, she was giggling. Sarah Connor, don't giggle.
No, but the reason she didn't giggle is because she'd been through that whole episode with the Terminator in T1. So, again, look, I mean, this is the problem this movie has. I think you and I said it, Jared, as we were walking to the cinema. The lines for the screening were so long. It's often an indicator to us about how popular, you know...
How well it's going to do at the box office.
Yeah, how well box office numbers are going to do in week one. But word of mouth, I think, is going to get around and... Look, you're not going to stop people wanting to see Terminator 4 and see Arnie again, but, you know, to call him Pops is kind of, like, disrespectful to me.
I know. I that wasn't funny.
It was. It just speaks to how bad some of the writing is in this movie.
I think it's the writing. Honestly, it's the writing. I mean, there's a lot of mumbo-jumbo, and I like mumbo-jumbo, but there's after a point I just gave up. They were just not even serious about all the technical stuff. And then I can say... And I don't speak just for myself, but for the whole theater which was watching it, I think two out of maybe every five one-liners worked. There were a lot of one-liners which were being tossed.
Falling flat.
Nobody was laughing at them.
Yeah.
So I think it's the writing. I don't even think the direction is that bad. It's made by the same guy who did the Thor sequel, Alan Taylor. But and I think the single biggest crime for the movie is I think of the greatest strength of the Terminator 1 and the Terminator 2 movies is not even Arnie. It's Linda Hamilton who did Sarah Connor. That's such a, you know, great, intense character. She's so fed up and she's so angry. And I don't watch Game of Thrones, but this... I did not believe Emilia Clarke.
She's too baby-faced.
She was too baby-faced.
Yeah, she looked too young. She looked
like
way
she
too
was
young.
Almost in an animated version of the movie instead of being in the actual serious version.
I love that. Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
That's a great.
But so that
think,
to me,
I think she did okay. Though I think we're giving her a hard time. I think she did okay, and I think she played a good Sarah Connor, younger version. But she looked like she was about 9 years old.
Right.
I couldn't buy that. You know. She was supposed to be a teenage or an early 20-something.
I think part of the problem is nothing is ever going to match up to how we felt when we watched Terminator 2.
Of course, that's what... Yeah.
And so it's a lost battle.
No, but it is possible to feel that way. And I think... No, it is. I mean, I think there are ways of doing it. We've seen the Batman movies done in ways that really, really work well for modern audiences. So I think it is possible. It's just, I think this movie relied too heavily on things that we've seen before. It's just really, in my mind, a revisit of everything. And again, some of those concepts of liquid metal robots and shape-shifting, you know, that was really a zeitgeist, right? At that point in time, with all the technology that was being developed, we could do this kind of effect for the first time. Now we can do so much more. So why are we doing the same, exact same things? Even there's a shotgun blast which leaves two arms of the Terminator, you know, kind of hanging onto a vehicle. You know, we've seen everything's done like the same clever flips of animation where the, you know, this liquid... I was just... Frankly, I was bored by the lack of inventiveness that they showed in using what we now have as much more sophisticated computer technology in storytelling. They just didn't do it any justice.
So how would you compare this to Jurassic World, which was also a reboot of a beloved, you know, franchise?
I mean, I had way more fun in this one.
Really?
Yeah, I have to say, I mean... Oh. I really did enjoy this one in the moment. I know what you guys are saying.
No, I enjoyed it in the moment too. Absolutely.
It was more believable to me because I think maybe I was dreading it more. So I think, again, it's more of that what you go in with. I was dreading watching this one because I hated number three so much. And I didn't even give number four the time of day. So I was thinking, oh, God, what is this going to be? And I actually thought it was fun.
No, I'm not saying it wasn't fun.
It was kind of... It almost had a laugh at itself, but the question is why?
I'm not saying it wasn't fun. I mean, you know, it is fun. It was just empty calories.
Yeah, I mean, how about you guys?
Compared to Jurassic World, I mean, Jurassic World for me worked brilliantly because I think they did take modern technology and give us something new, more not necessarily more frightening because Spielberg just was such a masterful director, but they gave us a bigger vision. They put us back right in that world where dinosaurs live and breathe and you know, they created this very tangible universe danger, whereas here I think this was just a poor rewrite of what we'd seen before.
Yeah, and I think the word which comes to mind is safe. It's just playing it very safe. You know, it's been so long, it's been decades since Terminator 2 came out, and, you know, that Robert Patrick character, you know, playing the new version,
T-1000,
or whatever, you know, with the liquid metal, that was such an amazing thing, and it kind of uses the, it's 2 decades, and it still uses, he uses his hand as hooks to hang on to this
guy. Yeah.
So I wish they'd gotten a little bit more creative with it.
But that's what I'm saying. I mean, if you're saying that that's the T-1000, then you can't change it too much, because then you're messing with the time scale again.
No, but you can use that same idea more inventively.
Sure.
Right? So there's a great moment. We just watched T2. There's a great moment where it becomes the floor, and it then, because it comes into contact with somebody, it's then able to mimic that person because it was a floor. Like, why do we have to still have these same, you know, policeman uniform, you know, chasing down the street? There are so many more inventive ways of using, you know, a robot that can mimic anything, right?
Yeah.
So that was kind of my main beef with it. And J.K. Simmons, dude, he just won an Oscar for Whiplash.
I know. Ever. Yeah.
Please,
yeah.
J.K. Simmons just won an Oscar for Whiplash. That's what I wrote. Please don't make him do Bumbling Idiot. Anybody will do Bumbling Idiot for you. Don't call J.K. Simmons and make him be a Bumbling Idiot.
It was kind of like the same that we saw with Paul Giamatti in San Andreas, where he's like, you know, oh, the catastrophe is coming and no one will listen to me. And
hopefully they both got paid very well for
it.
Wow. And the other issue also is that, you know, this movie seems so 80s and it's PG, and it's doing this whole, you know, people are naked but not quite naked, and there's always somebody hiding, you know, their nakedness.
But it's going to be 12-year-old kids that go and see this movie, right, with their parents.
I mean
that's the issue, right? I mean,
its sensibility seems so backwards.
It is. Tonally, you know, it's inconsistent.
And then
I think,
throwing
as well
in this kind of teen lovey-dovey thing. And it was definitely teen because of the age of these characters. So,
yeah.
Again, it feels like, you know, it was cooked up in a boardroom rather than, you know, in the mind of a writer who had a story that needed to be told. They're like, let's put these elements in. You know, Arnie one-liners, check. You know, robots, check. Skynet, check. They even used the son of the original Miles Dyson, or Charles Dyson, whoever their character is. I think I'm mixing him up with the vacuum cleaner inventor here.
Yeah,
but, you know, as the new person that now creates the computer system that's now going to become Skynet. I mean, come on. Parallel universe, it has to be his son.
So score the movie.
It is... I have to admit, it's adequate entertainment. It was more than enough to keep me awake. I enjoyed the overall ride that we had with the movie, but I was incredibly disappointed by the lack of new ideas. And I think, you know, this franchise to continue needs to have fresh ideas injected. It needs to give us something new. Give us the what the fans want. So, I'm going to give this a very reasonable 5 out of 10. But you know, I'm being a little kind.
Yazdi.
You know, I think Arnold Schwarzenegger is one of the most underappreciated presences in cinema. There's nobody quite like him. He's a horrible actor, but his physical presence is extraordinary. And I love to see him in movies. Last Stand that we saw last year,
I really
so liked
that, yeah.
So any chance to bring Arnold back, and you know, enough with the old jokes, you know, come on, that's so disrespectful.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I'm just happy to see Arnold Schwarzenegger back, you know, in the driver's seat. I want to see him more in movies. You know, and if you grew up with Terminator, you'll have a great time, and you look forward to watching this, and it doesn't disappoint from that perspective. But I just wish it had been more like you, Joe. It had been more inventive and more giddy and less deferential, and it had taken some risks and not being like Austin Powers like in some parts almost.
Yeah,
you
that's
know?
True.
So yeah, 6 out of 10. And I say that only from my abiding love of the Terminator movies.
Yeah, I love Judgment Day. That's number two, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like you said, Joe, it's an almost perfect movie. It was on TV the other day, and so we started watching it.
And it stands the test of time.
And it stands the test of time. And so I'm going to end this by saying this takes Hasta la Vista to a whole new level, and I hope it doesn't come back. Let's just lay it to rest now. I was going to give this a 7 out of 10, but Joe's really poo-pooed it so much that it's made me think,
I don't know.
No, I think it's more deserving of a 6 out of 10. But I did have a terrific time watching it. I think it just, yeah, enough already.
All right. And I think it's enough already for this podcast as well. We're sitting here at 11 o'clock at night, so... Too many movies. Thanks. Mail at movierollers.com, I should say. Twitter.com/movierollers, Facebook.com/movierollers, and Instagram.com/movierollers eventually. Until our next episode, it's too many movies, too little time on this very muggy San Diego evening. A good night from me.
And me.
Me as well.